Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. So yes, I am back from vacation. So if you remember, I decided I wanted to take a vacation, spend a little time with my family, and detox from the news. Because the news was very depressing, things were just getting worse, and apparently while I was on vacation, Biden decides to just go full throttle on turning everything into shit. It is just completely depressing, and so I was initially going to come back last week, but then I took a look at what happened while I was on vacation and what was going on in the stock market, and I decided, yes, you know what? I want to play and focus all my attention on the stock market for an additional week. So yes, in the stock market, it's very fun and it can be very addicting, especially when you're playing all the squeeze plays and you're making returns of, you know, 30, 40, 50% in just a few days. In fact, the last stock I played in 4 trading days, it had tripled in value. Now that is fun. And when you compare that to taking a look at what's going on in the news, you would almost want to just stay playing the stock market and try to ignore everything. Because as bad as things were just before I decided to take some time off to spend with the family, it got even worse while I was on vacation. And most of what it is I'm going to talk about today, you've already heard. It's just me trying to catch up on what's all happened since I took my break. Okay, so let's see here. Since going on my month-long vacation, Biden decided, oh, let's just go ahead and just destabilize the entire world. Great. So he goes off and pulls out of Afghanistan. Now, the whole Afghanistan debacle happened after I went on vacation here. So he pulls out in the worst way possible. The Afghanistan government that we have been trying to get going, stabilize, support, prop up, however you want to say it, collapses in a matter of days. And Biden pulling out so quickly, so fast, so disastrously, ends up leaving the Taliban with billions of dollars in military equipment. We're talking guns, explosives, armored vehicles, the whole shebang, night vision goggles, all of it. He ended up becoming one of the biggest funders of terrorism, just leaving them billions of dollars in military-grade equipment. And then on top of that, he goes off and he abandons Americans behind enemy lines, give them basically no warning up front exactly when the pullout was going to be, how fast it was going to be. So he leaves the Taliban with billions of dollars in military equipment and leaves them a bunch of American hostages to boot. And are we really surprised? No. I mean, we know Biden is a complete disaster. We know that he is a fraud in the White House to begin with. But the idea that he would leave the Taliban with billions of dollars in military equipment along with hostages. Let's go off and break that down for a moment. So we know that Biden is very cozy with the Chinese, you know, wants to roll over. So we know a lot of the software, you know, computer and electronic equipment that was left behind is going to end up in the hands of the Chinese government that is going to be able to reverse engineer everything. So that is a way to just go off and pay off his Chinese overlords. We know that with the Taliban being given billions of dollars and military-grade equipment, that's going to set up a situation where we may need to go back in a couple of short years. Or who knows, with the Taliban, with how much of the equipment may be considered surplus, may decide to sell that equipment elsewhere. Right? Now, we almost would have thought, just a month ago, we would have thought the idea of an American president going off and leaving Americans behind would be unthinkable. That deliberately leaving them behind enemy lines that were not there prior to his actions, would have been unthinkable. You know, you got this whole idea of no man left behind. That's part of the, I guess, spoken or unspoken or whatever you want to say it, agreement that as Americans, we do not leave our own behind. Well, he just completely violated that. Gave the Taliban numerous hostages in order to be able to ransom or just slaughter for their propaganda. Now, when we take a look at the pullout, there's been a lot of analysis that has gone on, such as why the Afghanistan government fell so quickly. And one of the analysis was that when we pulled out, we took away the Afghan military's ability to fight, because we trained them to fight with American support, and more specifically, American air support, where the air support would go in first, and then they would go on the ground and clear out what remains. And we took that away. So we trained them to fight in a way that they would not be able to fight if we left. Jeez, whose genius idea was that? Now, I know we can go all the way back to former President Bush and take a look at the military training and all that, but did any of that training include Air Force? You know, how to fly planes? And did we leave them any? But the idea that he left Americans behind, and it was a conscious, deliberate decision, is disgraceful. It is beyond disgusting. But at the same time, I guess it's not really all that surprising, isn't it? I guess if you don't have any respect for life, that it's unsurprising that you're willing to abandon people behind enemy lines to be slaughtered, even if they are your own countrymen. Because as far as Biden's concerned, none of the people alive today, if you were born an American citizen, you have no right to life. As far as he's concerned, you should have been killed off in the womb. Genocide, how dare you live? Your life cost Planned Parenthood money. So, because we couldn't make money off of you in Planned Parenthood, well, we're going to go ahead and sacrifice you to the Taliban, because then we could use your death for whatever purpose. I'm not even sure what the end goal is here for Biden. I'm not even sure he has an end goal. I mean, it's very confusing to try and figure out on which day he's there and which days he's not. The rapid cognitive decline of Joe Biden is astonishing. And here's the issue here. What do you do, though? You got a fraud in the White House, and he's screwing everything up. Right? He has destabilized the world, essentially, and has created a safe haven for terrorism, and has even funded them. Right? But what do you do at this point? I mean, we could take a look at how the audit results are going to finally come out here in the next month, or at least hopefully. But even if they find that, you know, Joe Biden was completely fraudulent, as we all know, what action can they take? What correction can they do? I mean, is there any way to undo the damage? I don't know. I really don't have an answer for that. But let's say we go the route of impeachment. We go, okay, we just got to try and find a way to be able to survive until the 2022 midterms. Just find a way to survive until then. But then if you impeach Joe Biden, you get Kamala Harris. Is that going to be any better? You know, someone who screws up so badly, you know, Joe Biden, but it's because he has no mental faculties left? Or do you put in a situation where you remove him, but then the next person creates a dumpster fire, but does it on purpose? Is Joe Biden's dumpster fire, as a result of cognitive decline, going to be worse or better than Kamala Harris, who's going to do it on purpose just because she hates the country? Now, luckily, if we get to impeachment, we can safely say that we've probably taken over the House, which means we don't have to worry about Nancy Pelosi being the third or second in line to the presidency. All right. So luckily, if we do get to impeachment, we take out Nancy Pelosi. But if we take a look at what's going on with Joe Biden, let's say, you know, a situation happens, and let's say someone gets sick and tired of what's going on, and Joe Biden is taken out, right? Or maybe it's an act of God. Maybe he has a stroke or a heart attack or something like that. You know, let's just say something happens to Joe Biden and maybe he passes away. Again, it could be an aneurysm, a stroke. It could be a million things, right? Well, then you got a Harris Pelosi administration. And if something were to ever happen to Kamala Harris, you got Nancy Pelosi. This is a situation in which you could say you have impeachment insurance. You can say you have a deterrent from anybody trying to take action, because you take a look at the line of succession and it just gets progressively worse. All right, so I don't know what is all going to be done, but at least if you get to 2022 and the Republicans take the House and the Senate and you impeach Biden and Harris, then at least at that particular point, you know that Nancy Pelosi is not second in line. So all we can do is hope that this country does not completely collapse under Biden before 2022 midterms are up and before the Republicans can go off and impeach him. But if we were to go off and analyze this idea of impeachment, the question is, when you take a look at the Republicans, the ones who are up for re-elections, the ones who are running for office, and all of that, would they have the stomach to actually go through with impeachment? I mean, think about this. They wouldn't impeach Obama no matter what he did. No matter what he did. It didn't matter how many laws Obama broke, how many impeachable offenses he committed. It didn't matter what he did. They weren't going to impeach him because they were afraid of how that would look, the first black president being impeached. So they let him get away with absolutely anything and everything. And then what do the Democrats do? They go off and they impeach President Trump twice for absolutely nothing. One of the impeachments happened after Trump had already left office. So it's like unbelievable. And then the Republicans, when we take a look at it, will they impeach Joe Biden if they gain majorities of the House and Senate again? Or will they give us excuses? I don't know. I could only hope that they have the decency to get rid of this guy, to get rid of Biden. I mean, how many impeachable offenses do you need at this particular point in time? And it's not like it really matters, does it? I mean, as far as finding impeachable offenses, if they were able to impeach President Trump twice for absolutely no reason, having absolutely zero basis, then there is absolutely no reason why the Republicans wouldn't be able to impeach Joe Biden. And hopefully, unlike the Democrats, be able to remove Joe Biden from office. The idea that the Democrats would be able to get away with two baseless impeachments and there would be zero response from the Republicans would be absolutely absurd and asinine. They need to be able to send a message that says, fine, if you want to play this game, then every time we're in charge, the Democrats will be impeached. You know, there has to be consequences. But I fear that despite what the Democrats did to President Trump and despite everything Joe Biden has done, the Republicans are going to come up with some sort of excuse to basically say, well, you know, they're Democrats, so they can get away with anything. And so there won't be any consequences whatsoever for the Democrats for their horrible actions and behaviors over the last 5-6 years, or even longer, really. And so the Democrats are going to know that no matter what, they're going to be able to do anything when they're in power and not have any consequences for it. But then we find out that the situation gets even worse with Joe Biden since I was out. And so not only do we have a pullout of Afghanistan that is so disastrous, it could only have been intentionally designed to aid and support the Taliban's regaining of power and terrorism in order to justify the military-industrial complex. And I'm not talking about the U.S. military. I'm talking about all the private businesses, contractors, corporations that support the building of military equipment and everything, that it was only designed to set up a situation where we can create a new war or set the foundations for the next war in order for their profits. Because let's face it, under Trump, everything had calmed down, cooled off, and such that these military contractors weren't not needing to make as much stuff. There wasn't as much buying of equipment and so on and so forth, that everything had kind of gone down, cooled off, and so we need a complete disaster. So if that wasn't bad enough, and if it wasn't bad enough, purposely deciding to leave Americans behind so that the Taliban has hostages, along with billions of dollars in equipment, Joe Biden decides to make another move. And this one was real sickening. So apparently, his pullout was so disastrous in Afghanistan, so disastrous that it could only be seen as intentional. But his pullout was so disastrous, he needed a distraction. And so what's the distraction? A blatant, overbearing, over-the-top violation of the Constitution. As he goes off and he tries to act like a complete dictator in issuing a vaccine mandate. Oh yes, he's going to go through and issue an order here that says any employer that has over 100 employees, you must make sure that your employees get vaccinated or take a test every week, or you're going to be fined $14,000 per employee. Now, this is over the top. First of all, it's completely and blatantly unconstitutional. There is absolutely zero authority within the federal government to say that people must inject themselves with an experimental substance, shall we say, that's been on the market for less than a year, to which there have been some adverse effects. Of course, every vaccine, there's a portion of the population that have adverse effects, in order to get a job. And it doesn't even matter if you have natural immunity, you know, that you already had COVID and recovered and you have the antibodies, which, by the way, is more effective than the vaccine. They want to push that you cannot have a job unless you get vaccinated, or at least, you know, you have to get tested, which going through getting tested and then showing the results of your test under current law is illegal. You know, under current law, it is illegal because now you're having to provide medical information to your employer as a condition of employment, which violates all the current laws against discrimination and discriminating against people based off of medical conditions and such. You know, it is a violation there, but the federal government has zero authority and it's blatantly unconstitutional for them to mandate that you must inject yourself with something in order to get a job. But this is so blatant. I mean, it wasn't but just a few weeks ago that Joe Biden and his administration were going off and saying that they couldn't do a vaccine mandate, that they were out there admitting what we all know to be true, that it is unconstitutional to try and do so, that they have zero authority for it. But now Afghanistan was so disastrous, they just decided, you know what, let's just blatantly violate the Constitution to distract people from what happened in Afghanistan. Now, of course, everything that's going on, there's going to be legal challenges, so on and so forth. There's likely to easily be an injunction on the implementation of this, and it's going to be struck down in the Supreme Court. But at the same time, you take a look at Iowa, you know, my home state, and the governor issued a law here, along with the state legislature, that banned public schools from being able to enforce mask mandates. And a judge steps in and decides, no. You cannot stop the schools from issuing mask mandates. No, you can't do that. So we're going to put an injunction on that law and allow the schools to require kids to wear masks. Now, I get it. There were some parents who sued, you know, and we could talk about, you know, that more in depth if you want. But here's the thing. You now have judges that are just basically saying, to hell with the Constitution, to hell with state constitutions, to hell with the laws, we're just going to go through and implement what we want. And the particular judge who did this, I know for a fact, is a very corrupt partisan who subverts the law to his political ideology. I had, you know, the unfortunate experience of having him as a judge in a lawsuit that I had filed. And he tossed out the lawsuit based off of blatantly false claims. And his order to dismiss the case was written based off of blatant lies. You know, he just took the defendant's claims that were blatant lies at face value and didn't even bother to take a look at a single shred of evidence that clearly debunked the claim. So we know that this judge is a complete disgrace to the federal bench, that he is a partisan hack. But going off and trying to say that, hey, you know what? You cannot ban government-run institutions, which a school is. You cannot ban them from implementing mask mandates under laws, and yet he can't find anything in the Constitution or anything in any current law that would justify his order. So we could have a situation whereby Biden thinks that if they can just get the lawsuit in the right area, a corrupt judge will just wipe his ass with the Constitution and allow a vaccine mandate to remain in force. But this is a complete violation. Now, does it matter to Joe Biden that this is a complete violation? I doubt it. As far as I can see, Joe Biden reversing course from admitting that this is a completely illegal and unconstitutional act to just going ahead and doing it, he thinks it's going to benefit him politically on two fronts. One, the Democrats, the left in this country, are so vastly misinformed about COVID-19 and the data and the science behind it because they have been so propagandized that they're going to cheer this on. They're going to say, to hell with your rights, as Arnold Schwarzenegger seems to think. You know, to hell with your rights. We're going to do this because of the misinformation that we believe. That's what the Democrats are going to go through. And plus, Democrats loving, you know, top-down authoritarian government, a tyranny, how they want to turn the United States into a dictatorship under the Democrats' rules. They're going to celebrate this. So he thinks that this is going to play well with his base and help motivate turnout for his side in the 2022 election. So with sinking approval ratings and becoming quickly the most hated president of all times, he thinks that just blatantly violating the Constitution and illegally acting improperly is going to play well to his base. So he thinks he's going to benefit that way. But he also sees this as a massive distraction from Afghanistan. You know, that as he goes through here, as he violates more and more sections of the Constitution, and he inflicts more and more harm on the United States, it's going to take distraction away from his disastrous pullout in Afghanistan. And so he's going to distract people from Afghanistan, and he thinks it's going to play well from his base. So by Democrat logic, acting as a completely unconstitutional tyrant is beneficial politically. That's his calculus. And then on top of that, he is hoping to get a corrupt judge that doesn't care about the Constitution, the law, doesn't care about freedom or democracy, and will just support and uphold whatever illegal action he wants to commit. So we need to do a lot more clearing of the swamp. And what the Republicans need to be running on, in my opinion, is impeach Biden and Harris. That is a must. That is a must before they have any further opportunity to destroy the country. Then they need to take a look at the federal bench. And they need to take a look at all of these judges that are abusing their seat on the bench, that are issuing judgments in direct contradiction to the Constitution or the laws on the book, who are abusing their position in order to legislate from the bench to implement their political ideology, regardless of what the law says. And they need to be going through and impeaching them as well. We need to clear this out because we are getting to a situation where the amount of corruption is beyond ridiculous in the government. Now, a lot of people have been going off and sharing, you know, the Declaration of Independence, pointing out that, you know, even our founding father said that when a government becomes too corrupt and too tyrannical, that it is the right of the people to overthrow that government. Think about that for a moment. That is becoming a more and more popularized sentiment about our government needs to be, well, the current people who occupy our government, I should say, need to be removed and replaced because they have become too tyrannical, too corrupt. And you understand that the Second Amendment was designed to help support that statement in the Declaration of Independence. So we got a situation here where Joe Biden is, as I've said many times before, it seems intent on trying to push us into a civil war, to which he thinks that he can convince the military to drop nuclear bombs and bombs, you know, our cities and such to squash any uprising. He may be overestimating the support of the military, which, by the way, the military, you do understand that your oath is to the Constitution, not to the president, right? So, you know, maybe you should look into what you as the military should be doing to defend the Constitution from this tyrant. Maybe. All right. So in any event, that kind of catches us up on some of the biggest stuff that had happened while I was out on vacation. And so from here on, I am going back to my regularly scheduled podcasting schedule. Boy, that That didn't come out right. That first day back seems to be rough because I've gotten out of the rhythm and the mood of podcasting. And so, you know, thank you for bearing with me as I get back into the groove. So that takes care of everything that had basically happened. The biggest items that had happened while I was out on vacation, I go back to my regularly scheduled podcast show. And if I feel like it, maybe I'll also spend portions of the show talking about some big moves in the stock market, because let's face it, with Joe Biden in office, crushing the economy, crushing you, that needing to be able to make some big moves where you can make, you know, 20, 30, 60% in a week on your money will be very helpful. But I am not a financial advisor, so I'm not sure I would go in and necessarily do that. But I don't know. I'll just let you know what plays I made afterwards. I'll let you know some of the wins and losses. And then maybe I'll do another podcast, you know, just around the stock market or something. I don't know. We'll see. Or, you know, if I miss a day of my regular schedule, it's probably because there's something big going on and I'm always going to choose making massive amounts of money over recording a show, but I don't see that really interfering with the show. All right. So anyways, thank you so much for coming back and continuing to stay subscribed, even though I was out on vacation. And I will be back again soon.